You and I understand that Jesus is greater than Moses, but for the first century Jewish believers, that was a bold claim. After all, Moses led their ancestors out of Egypt, received the Ten Commandments, and established the law. But in the book of Hebrews, we see that Jesus is superior to Moses in every way. Today, we'll explore three reasons why Jesus surpasses Moses in his person, his performance, and his promise. Keep listening.
We're used to hearing advertisements proclaiming the superiority of some product. You know, it's the best tasting, it's the highest quality, it's the longest lasting, and on. Usually, one aspect of the product that supposedly sets it apart from, you know, every other competing brand is typically emphasized. Well, that's advertising. Plenty of claims, but seldom any real evidence to back it all up. Well, the first two chapters of the book of Hebrews have made some impressive claims about Jesus Christ. He's the creator. He's the sovereign Lord of the universe. He's superior to the prophets of the Old Testament, as well as the mighty angels. Well, those claims are backed up by the evidence of God's revelation, the Bible. You know, all of this would have been amazing revelation to Jewish believers back here when the letter was first read by them. Well, as we set sail today back into chapter 3, the writer makes an even more stunning claim. Here it is. Jesus is superior to the great Moses himself. Now, but again, the evidence is going to back up this claim. The first piece of evidence is this. Jesus is superior to Moses in his person. Now, again, the fact that Jesus is greater than Moses might seem obvious to us, but to a first century Jewish person, this was an incredibly bold statement. For the Jewish people who've come to faith in Christ, this was an important truth to remember, and he now emphasizes it here. They're being persecuted. They're under constant pressure to turn back to the law that Moses had delivered to the nation. Now, with that as a backdrop, then the author begins chapter 3 and verse 1 by telling them to consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, he's simply reminding them here that they have confessed Jesus as the supreme apostle. By the way, that word apostle simply means messenger. So Jesus was the supreme messenger from heaven. Jesus' high priesthood will become a major emphasis a little later on here in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to discuss it then. But for now, these two terms elevate Jesus over Moses. Yes, verse 2 says that Moses was faithful to God, but he was just a man, whereas the book of Hebrews has already revealed to us that Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead. Now, here's the second piece of evidence the author presents. Jesus is superior to Moses, not only in his person, but in his performance. Verse 5 puts it this way, Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. But Christ, verse 6 says, is faithful over God's house as a son. Well, now the word house here refers to the people, the household of God. In the Old Testament, that would have been Israel. In the New Testament, that's the church. Well, Jesus is the builder of them both. Now, the writer points out here in verse 6 that we today, the people of God, are God's house. In other words, we are the church that Jesus is building. And the writer adds here, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Now, don't misunderstand, that doesn't mean we're going to be saved if we hang on. It means here that those who are saved are never going to want to let go. Now, the performance of Moses in faithfully leading the nation of Israel was impressive, but it was temporary. The performance of Jesus in building all the redeemed into the household of faith is superior because, well, that household is going to last forever. Well, now with that, here's the third piece of evidence. Jesus is superior to Moses in his promise. Now, at this point, some of the events that took place during the leadership of Moses are brought forward by the writer of Hebrews, verses 8 through 11, quote, from Psalm 95, and that rehearses Israel's rebellion in the past. The quote here in Hebrews starts with the word today, and that emphasizes the urgency of heeding this warning. Today, he writes, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness. Now, although the Israelites who left Egypt under Moses saw God's miraculous works, he writes here, for 40 years, they rebelled against God and his appointed leader, Moses. And as a result, God declared here, they shall not enter my rest. The word rest here refers to Israel's rest in Canaan, the promised land. That land was promised to them if they obeyed the Lord. Sadly, as a nation, as a whole, they did not obey, and that entire generation of the people of Israel, all those who were 20 years old and above, the Old Testament records, with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, will die. They all died in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 14 gave us that. Now, this warning against hardening the heart here is extended directly to the Christian readers in Hebrews, as he writes here in verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. In other words, he's saying, let's follow the Lord. In fact, he adds here in verse 13, exhort one another that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. In other words, let's encourage everyone around us in Christ to resist sinful backsliding that takes us off the path of blessing and spiritual rest. Now, the author is connecting this promised rest for Israel and Canaan to the joy of our rest in Christ today. Now, with that, we come to chapter 4, and he writes in verse 1, therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. Now, the writer here affirms that while the Israelites of Moses' generation failed to enter God's rest, there is still a place of rest available to believers. Now, here's something important we need to keep in mind. It confuses many people today as they read this text. Canaan, the place of rest for Israel, is not a picture of heaven. Now, I know we sing a lot of hymns that consider Canaan, the promised land, as symbolic of heaven. And that's simply not a true analogy. Canaan was a place of rest and joy that came from following the Lord, but it was also a place of danger and battles and taking steps of faith. The Israelites needed to trust and follow the Lord in order to enter in and enjoy that promised place of rest. One Bible teacher put it this way, and I couldn't agree more. Canaan is not a picture of heaven, but of the believer's present spiritual inheritance in Christ. Believers who doubt God's word and rebel against him, they don't miss heaven, but they do miss out on the blessings of their inheritance today. In other words, we can miss out on the joy of obedience due to hardness of heart and sinful decisions. Like those Israelites of old, we can forfeit the blessings of peace and contentment if we choose to stray off the path in disobedience to Christ. So this is a warning for Christians to walk with Christ and, when we do, experience victory in battle against sin and temptations in the world. In fact, the writer says here in verse 3, we who have believed enter that rest. By the way, the verb enter here is in the present tense. It means we are daily, presently entering. This place of rest, then, is a present reality available to believers who are obedient. And we don't want to miss that blessed peace and joy of following Christ and instead choosing sin, which hardens our hearts. So there was a Canaan rest promised for Israel in the past through Moses. There is this ongoing present rest for believers who follow Christ obediently. Well, now here in verse 10, the writer tells us, whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Now, this use of the word rest is a reference to that moment when we finally enter a future eternal rest, a rest in God's presence, which is heaven. And by the way, there are no more battles and no more temptations. All the labors of this life will cease. We're going to enjoy him forever. Well, let me tell you, Moses can't offer that kind of promise, that kind of eternal rest. It comes only through Christ our Lord. Now, the central point in these chapters is clear from the repeated appeal, which we see again here in verse 7. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In other words, let's trust him. Let's believe his promises. Let's follow him. And we need to do that as believers every single day. And the rest that we will one day experience when all the battles are over is going to last forever. Well, until we set sail again next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Greater Than Moses. Moses was faithful in leading God's people, but his work was temporary. Jesus, on the other hand, offers eternal rest and a lasting promise. If we follow Christ and trust him, we enter into a rest that starts today and stretches into eternity. Let's be careful not to miss out on the blessings of walking with him. Our daily Bible lessons are just one way we support your spiritual growth. We also publish Heart to Heart, a monthly devotional magazine. Stephen covers a wide range of topics such as the reality of hell, how the universe began, effective ways to share your faith, and much more. Each article is designed to help you navigate the real-world issues you face in life with confidence and biblical guidance. Each issue also includes a daily devotional guide designed to keep you connected with God's Word. You can join thousands of people who gain a deeper appreciation for God and His Word through this resource. We've created this resource for two reasons: to thank our wisdom partners, and to send as a gift to anyone who makes their first contact with our ministry. You can receive 3 free copies by visiting wisdomonline.org or calling 866-48-BIBLE. Whether online or by phone, we're excited to share this resource with you. Please join us back here next time to continue along the wisdom journey.